Sunday in Advent. It's Christmas next week. Ooh. I don't know if you're getting increasingly excited or increasingly exhausted. Whichever one it is, Christmas is round the corner. Whoop. You may have got the impression over these past few weeks that I really like Christmas. Have you had that impression? I really like Christmas. I may have mentioned this before. Paul and Rebecca will tell you that there are Christmas carols blasting out from my office. You may have noticed the Christmas jumpers that Dan and I have been rocking. And you had a Christmas jumper too. You've only got one. You can't wear it every day. Okay. And even my dislike for mince pies has been healed this year with the help of Daphne. Daphne's mince pies. It was almost as if they needed a heavenly serenade. It was like, oh, I don't like mince pies. Daphne makes really good mince pies. And Debbie's mince tart. Nectar. It's all good. I love Christmas. I love the tree. Isn't our tree looking lovely? I love the lights. I love Christmas. Yay! And if you're like me, the weeks running up to Christmas, I'm full of anticipation. I want Christmas to be perfect. My tree is colour coordinated to my front room. It is. A bit OCD about my tree. My table will be perfectly set, colour coordinated. I'm hoping everything will be perfect. Now, is this your impression of a perfect Christmas? For those of you who watch EastEnders, this is EastEnders in its prime. There they are, all gathered around the table, happy family. For those who watch EastEnders will know that shortly after this picture, Den tells Angie that he wants a divorce. And it always happens at Christmas in the soaps. Somebody dies. There's a fire. Something awful happens. I think maybe that was the last time I watched EastEnders, actually. To be fair. too depressing. We want a perfect Christmas. We plan and we prepare and we want something that's perhaps idyllic. I remember my first Christmas as a mummy. Rebecca, who is now going to ignore this, Rebecca was born and I'd got in my head this perfect day of love and cuddles. Yes, I'd done the Christmas service, but it's going to be a day of family togetherness, of joy, of serenity, of this new family bonded together. She screamed from the moment she got up, sorry Rebecca, carry on, to the moment she went to bed. I don't know what I was expecting. She was 3 months old. I don't know in my head if she was sitting up unwrapping presents in my perfect little mind. Perfect all day Boxing Day when the in-laws arrived, but for Christmas Day it was miserable. From beginning to end, I shouted at Paul, he shouted back, she screamed. We went to bed really early. It was miserable. Any other parents recognise that Christmas? It wasn't quite what we expected. Sometimes Christmas isn't as perfect as we think it should be. Today we once more come to that angel's message given to the shepherds on the night Jesus was born. It's where we started in our theme of Christmas is. We've been thinking about what Christmas is and what Christmas isn't, And we started about thinking about the joy in the angel's message, that Christmas is a cause of great celebration. That's the first thing we looked at. Christmas is a time for celebration. It's good news the angels bring the shepherds. Good news that God loves us and that God is always with us. Yay! I think it's good news anyway. We reminded ourselves in our second week that Christmas is a time for salvation. That child that was born wasn't just a baby in a manger, but grew up to be a king on a cross who saves us from our sin. So that was our second week. And today we're thinking about Christmas is a time for reconciliation. Reconciliation is something that the world has never known, but every heart longs for. Peter read these words to us. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace on earth. Jesus didn't come just to bring salvation, but he comes to reconcile us to God and to restore our relationships, our broken relationships with one another. Does that strike a chord with you? Do you know somebody perhaps who's not sharing your Christmas table because there's been some conflict? Or some falling out, or perhaps someone in your family or your friendship circle will know of that. The world needs peace. The world needs reconciliation. We worship the Prince of Peace, who transforms lives, who brings challenge and change, who convicts us, but he also brings peace and healing and wholeness. And we live in a world that needs that. Now, we don't have to do much to know as soon as we turn on the television, as soon as we open our newspapers, that the world we live in is in conflict. There is war in almost every country of the world, or conflict in every country of the world. I was trying to discover how many current conflicts there were in the world at the moment, so I could educatingly tell you that there are so many countries in the world who live at peace. I couldn't find the definitive answer, but I did find the 2015 Global Peace Index, which is linked to the United Nations. And it was made for a really interesting read. It shows that the world is becoming increasingly divided. That shouldn't surprise us. But some countries are now living with unprecedented levels of peace and prosperity. But other countries are spiraling into further violence and conflict. That doesn't surprise us. Where do you think the most peaceful countries in the world are? Scandinavia. Iceland comes the top, followed by Denmark, and then I knew you might like that one, and followed by Austria. Apparently, according to this peace index, the three most peaceful places in the world. Any idea as the least peaceful place in the world? Syria is currently top, followed by Iraq and then Afghanistan. And according to this peace index, the world as a whole is less peaceful now than it was in, say, 2008. Now, that doesn't surprise us. There is no peace on earth. And on a global scene, we know that, but we also know that on an individual basis, don't we? From our own streets, from our own families, in our own homes and our own hearts. We know in our own workplaces we need reconciliation and peace. If one of the purposes of Jesus coming into our world was to bring peace on earth, to reconcile us with one another in ways that are significant and lasting, what has happened for the last 2,000 or so years? If the birth of Jesus is supposed to bring peace to our relationships, to our marriages, to our children, to our parents, to our co-workers, to our neighbours, why are we not doing that? I think I found the answer in James. James chapter 4 says this: submit yourself to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Conflict starts with each one of us because we want something and we don't have it. War starts when people see things in a different way and refuse to cooperate. In our own relationships, I am the most stubborn person. Paul's not here today, but he will be nodding if he were. We're two different people, and in your marriages and relationships, we know that to be true as well. Arguments and conflicts come when we want different things, when we don't listen, when we argue, when we fight. We fight at home, we fight at work, sometimes in the church, in the community. We are a people who need reconciliation. Because as James says, often we look to our own needs above others and we're stubborn. I am stubborn. I am so stubborn. We're all stubborn. Don't feel like I'm telling you off. It's a sermon to me as well. And the root of this is sin. We're all sinners. There's no peace on earth because sin is still in control. Sin that we've not confessed and given to God. We want to be in control. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Christmas being a time for salvation, and we were reminded about what Jesus did on the cross. He came to save us from a way of life by forgiving us, and it's that salvation that heals our relationship with God, because that's just the beginning. Salvation is the start, and then we have peace with God. And that peace with God allows us to have peace with others. So our first step to being people of peace is to have peace with God. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. In other words, through Jesus, God not only forgives us, but makes peace with us and draws us close to him. That's what happened on the night when Jesus was born. The message that the angels gave that night was to a group of shepherds. Shepherds, as we've heard, were not the most popular of professions. We don't get that impression in the nativity story, with the tea towels on our heads of the children. The shepherds were ritually and spiritually unclean. They were dodgy. They were not the sort of people you'd want to associate with. They were classed as the lowest of the low. Shepherds weren't even able to testify in a court of law because nobody believed a shepherd would tell the truth. That's how dodgy a shepherd was. I don't know who the equivalent would be. I don't know. A second-hand car salesman. I don't know. Gardeners in West Kirby. I love gardeners in West Kirby. Especially one particular gardener in West Kirby. But the shepherds were outcasts. They were not close to God in any way. But yet, on the night that Jesus was born, who was the first group of people that God goes to say, I'm including you first, above anybody else? It was the shepherds. And God wanted to draw them in. He starts with those no one else wants to know and begins with them and reconciles himself to them, making peace. He gives them a purpose. He tells them they're part of God's plan. I love that bit in the Christmas story. And that's what Jesus was always doing. Always drawing people in. Children, tax collectors, prostitutes, women, all told that they were valued and loved and accepted. Jesus reconciled loads of different people to one another and brought peace. The observant among you will have noticed the title of the passage in James was this: submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. If we want to be people of peace, we need to stick our hands up and say, we can't do this by ourselves. Our way does not work, but we know that your way does. Peace of God comes when we submit and surrender to God's way and not our own. It's not a once and that's done decision. It's an everyday decision. And all of us who are in different sorts of relationships know that to be true, that we don't just decide to love and then for the rest of our lives in relationship that's sorted. Every day we need to decide that we need to get up and love, that we're going to forgive, that it's an ongoing thing. It's a daily, moment-by-moment decision to trust God and to rely on his power and his strength as we surrender his life. I think that brings peace. You've probably all heard of the Serenity Prayer. The words are on the screen. We know these words well. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I used to have that in my office, in my last church, and underneath it I had the words, and a big stick. Serenity and a big stick do not go together. But it actually goes on. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. Taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. That's the bit we don't hear or see on the posters or on the key rings. Because that's actually quite hard. That's a harder path to tread, is to keep surrendering to God, saying, your will, your way, not mine. Jesus makes this promise: come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, I don't know about you, but now and again, I do need rest for my soul. We all need peace with God and peace with one another. Let me tell you a story, a true story of a family who needed to make the decision daily to submit to God's will so that they had peace of heart and mind. It's about the consequences of what happens when you don't choose peace. It's a true story. It's about a woman who attacked her house with a forklift truck. Yes, you did hear me correctly. A forklift truck. Diane Fittipaldi, this is American, of 2013 Sunset Lane, told the municipal court judge, Levi Grantham, that she had launched the attack as part of a long-standing argument with her husband about housekeeping. "Oliver is a horrible neat freak," she said, "and he drives me nuts about keeping everything tidy." After the couple argued about the proper alignment of table place settings, Fittipaldi rented a £3,000 pneumatic tyre forklift truck and drove it through the front wall of their house. According to the neighbours who witnessed the incident, she used the machine to smash the dining room table. "Oliver yelled at me about which fork was supposed to go where, and I figured I'd fix it with a forklift truck." Neighbours said that the woman seemed wild-eyed and distraught during the attack, and she kept screaming, "Fork this," at her husband, who took refuge in the kitchen. I read that with complete incredulity. You don't destroy a house because you argue over the place settings. Please do not take this as a condoning of that. I'm not having any forklift trucks in the congregation here. Thank you very much. It's about how we handle things that we disagree with, how we handle and respond to tension and anger. We need the message of Christ coming into the world that brings hope and joy and peace. Real peace, real joy, real contentment. Everybody loves peace. There's nobody who will publicly say they don't want peace. They quite like anger and upset and enmity. Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the peace lovers." He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Any attempt to restore a broken relationship is what God would do. So, how are your peacemaking skills, congregation? I'm not suggesting that you need to be a United Nations peace envoy, but you are a peace envoy in your own life, in your street, in your family, in your relationships, in your front line. You are a peace envoy. Do you know what the shepherds did when, after they found Jesus, after they'd experienced for themselves that peace? They went out and shared it as good news. They allowed God's peace to enter their hearts, and they went and told people of that experience. As we work for peace in our homes and in our church, in our community, then people experience that. That's addictive. Like love is, it extends to others. Maybe there can be peace on earth, but it needs to start with each one of us, as the song, the old song used to say, what was it? "Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me." Peace has to start somewhere, so why not start with us? When the angel said that God's peace had come to earth, it was not a general announcement for all the people to hear. It was a message for the shepherds, who then went and shared it. And I suspect that message was then shared by others, and then shared with others. God has a message of peace he wants us to share. Christmas is the time for reconciliation. The purpose of Christmas is to bring peace. Where is it in your life that you need his peace? Maybe peace in your workplace, or reconciliation in your family. The Christmas carol, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," says this: "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing." Wherever we are in our relationships today, the angels remind us that the purpose of Christmas is peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our relationships, and peace on earth. It is possible. May God help us to have peace with him, experience that peace, and share that peace with others. Amen.